Good morning, Green Bay Packer fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie George, this morning. We're getting ready for a Packers football game this upcoming Monday night against the Seattle Seahawks. Excited to get you ready for that. You know, it is kind of weird. Usually on Fridays, I am getting you prepared for a Packers game over the weekend, but actually, we do have another episode yet of Railbird Central before that happens. So we'll be back on Monday, of course, and to preview the game then. Unfortunately, we won't have Brett Goud join us this upcoming Monday because the game is on Monday. So it's just a one-week break. He'll be back the next week. But yeah, so we're going to forgo Oh Snap with Brett Goud this upcoming Monday. But later today, later this episode, it's our Seattle in Focus episode. We'll be talking to Michael Dulka of allgreenbaypackers.com and bleacherreport.com. Going to be giving us a tour of Seattle. If you happen to be in the area for the game, he'll let you know where to go, what to see, what the tailgating scene is like. So excited to get to that later this episode. In the meantime, let's talk a little Packers football here. Let's find out what's going in the world of 1265 Lombardi Avenue. Top story in this morning's Packers Daily Links, and once again, at the bottom right-hand corner of your page, there's a link right there. Top story today, Greg Jennings having, I don't know if you can call it a setback, because he didn't like really re-injure his groin or anything, but just not progressing the way the Packers had hoped, which is kind of disappointing, of course, if you're a Packers fan. I mean, here's a two-time Pro Bowler, Pro Bowl wide receiver. You kind of want them out there on the field. You kind of want Pro Bowlers out on the field to help you out. But yeah, Greg Jennings, kind of an interesting story here a little bit. He actually, well, I'm not going to even say practice here. He warmed up with the team on Tuesday, the first day of practice this week, when practice was open to reporters. But he apparently, after the reporters left, they only have a certain portion of practice open to the media, and then it closes down. Media has to leave. But apparently, after the media left, Greg Jennings did not take part in any team activities or anything like that, and did not practice whatsoever at all yesterday, on Thursday. And in his post-practice press conference, head coach Mike McCarthy said, just not progressing like he had hoped Greg Jennings would. So a little bit of a disappointment there. As I said, you know, here's a Pro Bowl wide receiver. You kind of want him to help you out. He's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about what his future is with the Green Bay Packers. And I don't think we're going to get into that again, at least not today, maybe at some future point again. But obviously, a disappointing start to the season for Greg Jennings. He had the concussion during training camp, missed some preseason games. It's disappointing there for Greg Jennings to have this current injury now on top of that. So on top of the concussion, which he apparently is over, now it's Greg Jennings with the groin injury that is preventing him from, you know, being a bigger part of the Packers offense. I see Jamie Jor saying on the live blog, is the audio breaking up for anyone else and other people are concurring? I apologize. I am not exactly sure what would be breaking up the broadcast. Hopefully it will get better as time goes on here. I am being told I am perfect streaming by live stream right now. So not sure what's going on, but hopefully you'll get better. Anyhow. So in addition to Greg Jennings, that's the injury update for the day. I suppose there were a couple other small minor injuries. Tom Crabtree, Mr. Touchdown, Mr. Fake Field Goal Touchdown from the Bears game, did not practice at all, which kind of came as a surprise, actually. Didn't really, kind of came out of the blue, perhaps, a little bit. I remember Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette tweeting that he thinks he maybe re-injured his shoulder. Of course, you might remember in the, well, I think it was the final preseason game that Crabtree got hit. He took that big hit, or was it? It was the penultimate preseason game, and actually put him on the sidelines for a little while. But yeah, not practicing yesterday, a little bit of a surprise. But you know, as far as both Jennings and Crabtree go, and anybody else who missed practice, I believe linebacker Jamari Lattimore did not practice. There is still time. You know, I suppose that's the nice thing here with a Monday Night Football game. There's still more than 3 days here till kickoff. Still time for them to get healthy. Still time for them to get ready for this game. So that's the positive spin I can put on the injury situation here at the Packers. But you know, for the most part, this team is getting healthy and perhaps could even be fully healthy, or at least perhaps as close as you can get to it in football by the time Monday rolls around. So elsewhere in Green Bay Packers news, yesterday, the Packers, several pertinent stakeholders of the Packers, all finally commented on the Blake Barat's Aaron Rodgers leadership saga story yesterday, as players and everybody was available to the media. Head coach Mike McCarthy, quarterback Aaron Rodgers, and tight end JerMichael Finley all got to comment publicly on the situation. And perhaps this is the end of it. So now that everybody pertinent to the situation has commented on it, perhaps it'll finally go away. It might have even have gone away even earlier. Apparently, JerMichael Finley was not available to the media on Wednesday. Why he wasn't, I have no clue. But, you know, just by not being available, that pushed it back. So, of course, the media is going to wait. As soon as he is available, then they're going to talk about it. You know, it would have behooved the Packers even to make sure that Finley was available to talk about it as soon as possible and get it out of the way. But he talked about it yesterday, basically saying that he does not, Blake Barat does not share the same opinion as JerMichael Finley. So Finley kind of sweeping it under the rug. Aaron Rodgers called it silly. Quote, that is a direct quote, quote, silly, unquote, saying that basically he doesn't pay much attention or won't give anything credence to people outside the organization. He tries to ignore what people say about him, whether it's the media or, in this case, an agent, or, you know, JerMichael Finley even said fans, whatever. He tries not to worry about too much about what people outside the organization said about him. And also head coach Mike McCarthy called it ignorant, called the opinion that Aaron Rodgers is not a good leader ignorant. So there you go. I mean, that's where we're at now. Hopefully this story will die down a bit. I don't think it's going to die entirely. It will linger on at least until the Packers play the Seahawks, because the media, I'm sure, will keep it alive to an extent, as it will be a talking point on probably your national television talk shows now. I can just see Sunday morning, ESPN's NFL Countdown, the morning show on NFL Network, the Fox, CBS, you name it, they will all bring it up in their morning talk shows as you get prepared on Sunday, or, you know, even before ESPN's Monday Night Countdown or whatever. This will be brought up again, but hopefully, it'll be going away soon after that. As basically everybody within the organization of the Packers has said, they do think Aaron Rodgers is a good leader, although I don't know that they'd say anything different even if they believed otherwise. So it is kind of interesting in a way that, you know, everybody's got Aaron Rodgers back, but they have to. Have to, you know, saying otherwise would just complicate matters, even make it even a bigger deal. I think, you know, here's a guy who has a Super Bowl MVP to his name. I think it's, you know, safe to assume that Blake Bortz is in the minority here in thinking that Aaron Rodgers is not a good leader. Not really sure where that's coming from, other than Michael Finley, maybe, perhaps. But Finley even said it's not that way. Anyhow, so Packers getting ready for the Seahawks here. This is a pretty good Seahawks team. And you know what, folks? Usually I save my predictions for, various radio interviews that I do. I know I'll be doing one Monday morning on K107 in Fond du Lac. This is a game I am predicting the Packers to lose, so you can all feel free to, you know, rail on me right now in the comments section here. Yes, it's, you know, if this game was at home, if it was at Lambeau Field, I think I would change my mind. But seeing as it is not at Lambeau Field, I am predicting the Packers to lose. And Jamie George says it's because you hate the Packers, Brian. Yeah, I think people think that sometimes. That is not the case. I love the Green Bay Packers. But I try to look at things from a rational perspective. And I just do think the Seahawks, with the home field advantage, going to get the job done behind a good defense and perhaps just enough offense to get things done. Packers offense is struggling out of the gates this season. I see that perhaps maybe continuing for another week here as the Packers face another good defense. You know, how many good defenses are the Packers going to face? You know, they start off the season with San Francisco, arguably maybe the best defense in the NFL. Then they face the Bears, who are no slouches, maybe not the 49ers, but still pretty good. And now they got the Seahawks, which are one of the best up-and-coming defenses in the NFL. I don't think they're maybe a national radar yet of people, but this is a good young team there. Guys who you may not know right now on that defense, but there are going to be future Pro Bowlers and big names on the Seattle defense in the upcoming seasons here. So, I hope I'm wrong. I sure to heck hope I'm wrong. I want the Packers to win. I'll be cheering for the Packers to win. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. And I think I am in the minority, actually. John Rahor, our live blog director here, says the Packers will win. So, you know, I think I had read the scouting report on the Seahawks from Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And you know what makes Bob McGinn so good is he talks to scouts or personnel people in the National Football League. They are the most knowledgeable football people on the face of the planet that he talks to, guys who really know what they're talking about. And I think almost every scout he talked to predicted the Packers would win, you know. And certainly, I don't take that lightly. I mean, the people that Bob McGinn talks to, very smart football people. So, he knows what he's talking about, Bob does, and he gets his information from those in the know. So, I mean, there you go. There are experts, many of them, going against the grain of what I'm picking and thinks the Packers can win. So there you go. So take anything that I say with a grain of salt. So anyway, but I still think this is going to be a difficult matchup for the Packers. And I think it is mainly to do with the Packers' offense versus the Seahawks' defense. That'll be the difference in the game. A good, young Seattle defense that is really, you know, gosh, they're good with Chris Clemens rushing the passer in the secondary. They had several Pro Bowlers there. We talked about it with Nathan Yonke on Wednesday of Pro Football Focus, mentioning Richard Seymour, cornerback there in Seattle, and how well he's playing early this year. And then at linebacker, the Seahawks have KJ Wright. Then they have Bobby Wagner, the rookie, playing well. Just a good young defense there. These guys are good. I think they'll give the Packers some trouble. It would certainly behoove the Packers. It would certainly be nice if Greg Jennings was available. That would certainly help open things up. Or, you know, anytime you get the ball in his hands, it certainly is beneficial. You know, he is a darn good player, no doubt about it. But, you know, it's time, I think, for the receivers on the team to start playing up to potential here. I mean, Greg Jennings has yet to make an impact this season, and part of it is due to injury. But the game he did play, the game Greg Jennings did play, first game of the year against the 49ers, what did he have? He had five catches, which doesn't seem too bad. That seems pretty normal, five catches. But they only went for like 30-some yards, 39 yards. Not at all, you know, a big-time contribution from Greg Jennings. Jordy Nelson has done, you know, nothing notable this year after having such a big year last year. JerMichael Finley has had his share of drops and a fumble, and James Jones with his drops too. In fact, James Jones last week against the Bears, two catches for -1 yards. You know, so the Packers have not gotten anything out of their wide receivers, or just receivers in general yet, if you're counting tight ends. You know, really disappointing. Here is a unit that people put up on a pedestal, a unit that people call among the best in the NFL, if not the best, me included. You know, my goodness. I mean, don't you expect a little bit more out of that group? It's certainly not just the receiver's fault. Aaron Rodgers has not been on target with every single one of his passes, although I think he's been accurate enough. But still, offensive line has given up, several sacks already. So, there are issues on this Packers offense that go beyond the wide receivers. But, you know, the offensive as a whole, just not in sync. The running game in week one against the 49ers did nothing. You know, lot of issues, lot of blame to pass around. Packers have lot of issues there on the offensive side of the football. Now, thankfully, on defense, Packers doing pretty well. Their own pass rush is really solid. Clay Matthews, of course, off to the big start to the season. The secondary, while struggling in the 49ers game, really came back with a vengeance in week two against the Bears. Tremont Williams with his two interceptions, four INTs overall. Really good job. So there's hope there. You know, maybe the Packers defense can give Russell Wilson some headaches. I certainly think they're capable of it. You know, when you face a rookie quarterback, they're not always, you know, ready yet for prime time. They haven't learned all the tricks of the trade yet. So, question on the live blog. Is Devon active for Monday? I personally don't think he'll be active yet. They're going to take their sweet time with Devon House. And you know what? I don't know how you can make Devon House active with the way Sam Shields has been playing. You know, there's going to be some tough choices for this team, you know, as the Packers get more healthy and guys come back from suspension. So let's, you know, let's say a month from now, Devon House is active and ready to play. Let's say James Starks is healthy and ready. Mike Neal is back from his suspension. Holy cow, I do not envy Mike McCarthy and the decisions he and the coaching staff are going to have to make in trying to figure out a 46-man active roster list. There are going to be some tough decisions, and there's going to be some good players who will be sitting, out. Yeah, absolutely. Anyhow here, without any further ado here, I want to get to the interview with Michael Dulka of allgreenbaypackers.com, our Seattle in Focus segment, as we get a tour of the city the Packers will be visiting. Talked to Michael yesterday because he's out on the West Coast in Seattle. He's probably sleeping right now. I can totally understand. It's not even 7 a.m. yet out on the West Coast, so I pre-recorded this interview yesterday, but I recorded it, going to play it here, and we're going to get a little bit of a insight into what the city of Seattle is like in our continuing series that I hope to do all season long here, talking to Packer fans who live in the cities, or at least nearby the cities the Packers play in this year. So here we go. Michael Dulka of allgreenbaypackers.com. Welcome to our Seattle in Focus segment here on Railbird Central, and joining us today in preparation for the Packers matchup against the Seattle Seahawks, we have Michael Dulka of allgreenbaypackers.com and bleacherreport.com. Michael, how are you doing today?
Doing great, thanks.
Thanks for joining us. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background. You're a Packers fan that lives in Seattle. What brought you there?
I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I decided to go to Seattle University for school, so I've been here for the last 3 years. My dad had worked in the area, and I was interested in the area. I always watched the Seahawks sometimes, and whenever they showed the pictures or whatever of Seattle, I was interested. So I visited and just absolutely fell in love with it. So decided to move up here.
Where was the Packers background? Where did that come from?
My dad was born in Fond du Lac, grew up in Wisconsin, around Milwaukee until he was in junior in high school, and then moved to Vikings land before coming out to California and meeting my mom. So that's how I became a Packers fan, following in his footsteps.
Fantastic. Now, as part of our Seattle in Focus segment that we're going to do every week of the NFL season here, talking to people who live in these cities, where is a tourist attraction a Packers fan could go to in Seattle? You know, let's say they have Saturday, Sunday, they're waiting for the Monday night football game. What is something they might do?
one of the great things about Seattle is that the downtown area is extremely walkable. It's a little hilly, but it's not too bad. So you can do Pike Place Market, the famous fish throwing. You can check that out. That's always a great, whenever there's a sports game over the weekend, there's always fans. So there'll probably be more Packers fans in there to meet or talk to. And then up from there, you can walk a couple blocks. There's a bunch of shopping, a bunch of restaurants. And then you can take a monorail to the Space Needle, just like that, for a few dollars. Check out the Space Needle. Come back to downtown. There's a bunch to do.
That is something I've always wanted to do, see the famous fish market in Seattle. Someday I'm going to have to come out there. Okay, now, how about Sunday night, day before the game, I want to go out to dinner. Where are you going to suggest I go out to eat?
If you're staying around the downtown area, there's some great sports bars. There's some great restaurants, great pubs. And if you want seafood, there's great seafood on the water. Seattle's kind of known for the seafood. So there's Pike Brewing Company, the brew local beer. That's right across the street from the market. There's a restaurant called the Tap House. They have bunch of hundreds of beers on tap. And then there's Ivor's Acres of Clams, which is a seafood place that's on the water. Great views of the Sound. They also have a Salmon House, Ivor's, but that's over near UW. That's a little harder to get to. And so those are the best restaurants in the downtown area. And then there's great restaurants near UW up in Capitol Hill if you want to venture out a little bit.
Okay, so now the day of the game. What is the tailgate scene like in Seattle? What might you suggest a Packers fan does before the game, where they should go, maybe where they should park? I don't know. You tell me. What is it like?
The Seahawks organization doesn't like tailgaters of their own fans or visiting fans very much. So they have one parking lot where they allow tailgating, and they just cut that parking lot in half to build apartment buildings. So it's not big, parking's expensive, and they abide by the open policy containers. You can't have any alcohol out, and they enforce that. So the tailgate scene's not very great around here. But there are a lot of great sports bars around the stadium. So that's what a lot of people have done instead of tailgating. So it's a little more expensive, but I know there's a bunch of Packers fans that are going to a tailgate party at a concert venue a couple blocks from the stadium, and that starts at 2 p.m. So that's
what do you do for parking then? Are there just like public lots that are open, or you know, like or not even public but private as well?
There's a couple private lots, public and private lots throughout the city. So depending on where you want to, how far you'd want to be willing to walk, cheaper it's going to be. But yeah, if you're staying downtown, the best option would be to take the bus or walk. It's depending on where your hotel is.
How about giving me a prediction for the game, Michael? What is going to happen when the Packers meet the Seahawks on Monday night?
I say 34-21. I think it'll be close to start. I mean, it's a tough stadium to come in and play, but the key is settling the crowd, taking the crowd out of it. So I think if the Packers can do that, I don't think it'll be a problem. The closer it gets, the better chance the Seahawks have of pulling out the upset.
That's a pretty good analysis right there. I never thought about that, you know, by taking the crowd out of the game early. Of course, Seattle is known for the 12th man, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow, Michael, thank you so much for joining us here on Railbird Central. We appreciate you talking about Seattle a little bit and appreciate your perspective.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Michael Dulkov, allgreenbaypackers.com and bleacherreport.com, joining us here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV.
Thank you to Michael Dulkov for joining us this morning here at cheeseheadtv.com. And for future reference, I'm looking for people who live in opposing cities that the Packers will be traveling to this year. Looking for somebody from the Indianapolis area for our next the Indianapolis in Focus segment at Cheesehead TV here. So if you know anybody, send them my way. I may have to take to Twitter to be doing that. So a couple weeks away yet. Packers coming back home next week, of course, for a throwback weekend next weekend against the Saints. So anyhow, thank you everybody so much for joining us here this morning on Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. We'll be back, like I said, one more time to talk some Packers football on Monday morning before the game. So make sure to join us then. On behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caribou. Make sure to check out Cheesehead TV all week long for your Green Bay Packers news needs. And we'll talk to you Monday one more time before the game. So have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy some college football and the NFL action on Sunday. And we'll see you in a couple days. See you, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Tinderbox by String Cheese Incident on Sci Fidelity Records. Go, Pack, go.